Okay, Perik, give him a questions, comments. What do you got?
Okay, well, I don't know. Like, first of all, why did the man of God, right, the prophet, believe the guy who obviously lied to him? It's okay. Like kind of a blatant lie.
Yeah.
And not only that, why did God punish him for that? Because like, mean, if it was really like, it was really like, you know, he really thought it was the word of God, and that you want. Yes. Why would he punish for that?
That's obviously the main part of this paragraph. We have to deal with that. What else?
The parak begins like, and behold, like before our eyes, like a man came, you know, just then.
Okay, so what's going on here? So let's see. First of all, what do we say in the last parak? Yerubim ben Nevat sets up the Eglei HaZahav in Beit El Andan, and the Navi from God, if he has a gripe with Yerubim, who should he go to? Yerubim. But he goes to the Mizbeach. And he goes to Mizbeach, and he needs to give a sign. Now, why does he need to give a sign? Because when is this actually going to be destroyed? In the time of who?
Mm-hmm.
Yoshiyahu.
Yeah.
Now, Yoshiyahu,
it's not long.
They don't know it then. Yoshiyahu is not going to be around for another 300 years. Okay? So it's sort of like when you tell people, oh, don't do this, killing the ozone layer, because, you know, that's really bad. Because in thousands and thousands of years, that might affect humanity. So people go, oh, yeah, okay, no, thanks. So, like, really, it's like... So is that? It's not really a big deal to tell Yerubim ben Nevat, you know, your actions in 300 years are going to have big ramifications.
Well, he didn't know that.
Okay, well, thank you for telling me. So what does he need to do? He needs to show him that this is a big deal, and he has to have a sign today. Now, you're right, he doesn't know that's 300 years, and we'll talk about that. It's very weird that it's 300 years, and maybe the same way we said that Shlomo could have been Mashiach, and Yerubim ben Nevat could have been Yosef. Maybe Yoshiyahu could have been earlier. We'll talk about that later. But either way, it certainly must have been a big ceremony if Yerubim ben Nevat is there. Right? So I'm assuming... What are you looking at there? Okay.
I have notifications coming on.
Okay. If Yerubim is there, I'm assuming that this was opening day. All right? It was opening day. So you have like the president throwing out the first pitch, so maybe he's bringing the first carbon. And now, with everyone gathered around at this big ceremony, the Navi now comes and ruins the day, right? And this is big. Now, what did he say he can't do?
What can't he do? Eat and drink.
Eat and drink. Why not?
Because God told him not.
So it's more than that. What? Why can't he eat and drink? Where did it say can't eat and drink? Which pasuk?
Even if you give me half your house.
9.
Okay. It says, Hashem's commanded me not to eat or drink. Now, I would like to argue that it's not just that, because he's a Navi, he just had a vision of God. Turn back to Chav Dalet, fits in with our parsha of Shmos. Our parsha Shmini, we have the death of Nadav and Avihu, correct?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The problem with the death of Nadav and Avihu is it's hard to figure out what they did wrong.
Right.
So they're mentioned in a few places, and the Mefarshim try to figure out what was the sin that caused their death based on the few different places. So Rashi brings up being drunk, because afterwards Aaron is told about not drinking when they do the Avodah. But another thing is back at Parsha Mishpatim, go to Perek Chaf Dalet, start from Pasuk 9. Page 195. Go for it.
Moses, Aaron, Nadav, and Avihu, and 70 elders of Israel ascended. They saw the God of Israel, and under his feet was the likeness of sapphire, brickwork, and it was like the essence of the heaven in purity. Against the great men of the children of Israel, he did not stretch out his hand, and they gazed at God, yet they ate and drank.
So that's what some people say. Here it is, this religious experience. What did Nadav and Avihu do? They ate and they drank. That's also a nice idea that what's their vision of God? Are they looking from down below or above God?
Under. Well,
it seems like from above, because they God and under his feet are this. And so so that's what people also talk about, that they had gaiva, that they have like this arrogance. But also here is eating and drinking. There Rashi brings down that this is what why they should have died. I once spoke on a Thursday night. I mentioned that they should have died here, and yet they didn't die because Hashem didn't want to ruin Matan Torah with the death of Nadav and Avihu. How odd is it that he instead decides to ruin the inauguration of the Mishkan with the death of Nadav and Avihu?
We
don't want to ruin Matan Torah, so let's just ruin the first day of inauguration of the Mishkan.
Wait, why does he deserve to die for that? From eating and drinking?
Because at this religious experience, instead of warring with spirituality, they're now sinking to this level of eating and drinking. Moshe was on Har Sinai 40 days and 40 nights learning God's Torah. He didn't eat or drink. He was like angelic. He should have been angelic, but instead, right then, they're eating and drinking. So this is what some of the Parshim say. You can look at Rashi even here. Brings down the Maimri Chazal. So I'm just saying, here as well, it's not just that Hashem said not to eat and drink, but there's also something to it. Or you could say that this is sort of like an ir hanidachat. It says this is going to be utterly destroyed, and therefore, I don't want to get any hana. I made this declaration, everything's going to be destroyed. When am I going to get hana from this place? Possible. Now, the main question is, and this, Rani, you raised, is who is this guy that stops the Navi? Right? So we have a Navi that came from Yehuda who makes this prediction to Ram ben Avad. He's on his way out. He won't stop and meet with the king. And some other Navi hears about the message from his sons. Says, well, which way did he go? Mm-hmm. And he goes to look for him. Now, it's a machlokas how we view this guy. Do you think he was a Navi Emes or a Navi Sheker? What do you think?
Does it make sense if he's a Navi Emes?
Okay. So you say it doesn't make sense if he's a Navi Emes.
Why would he be punished?
What?
Because this is what God wanted.
No. Wait, but the second guy. So the guy that invites him into the house, the host.
Prophecy came true.
Prophecy comes true. This first prophecy comes true. He was sent by God. That's not a question. He was definitely the Navi Emes.
Yeah.
I'm saying the second guy. Pasuk Yud. The Navi Echad Zaken Yeshiva Beit El. V'yavo B'novi Saper Lo Et Kol Ma'aseh Asher Asah. Right? Is this guy a Navi Emes or a Navi Sheker? This Navi that's in Beit El.
Oh. What Pasuk is that?
Yud. Yud Aleph. What do you think?
What do you mean? That's what I was talking about.
So say, is he a Navi Emes or a Navi Sheker? You say Sheker. Why is he Sheker?
Because
the Pasuk says he lied to him.
Not only that, but if it was true, then... If what he said was true, then that was what God wanted.
Okay.
Why would he be killed for it?
So I'm not asking you if what he said was true. I'm saying, was he... But a Navi Emes.
Oh, he might have been a Navi Emes and still in the life.
Yeah. Right. What do you think?
I mean, there's no reason to think he would be a prophet.
Except that he's introduced as a prophet. I mean, like, that's how we're introduced to him. The Navi Echad Zaken, Yoshevi Beit El. I mean, that's a pretty good indication that he's a Navi.
A fake prophet, yeah. False.
Does it say Navi Sheker Echad?
It says there's a certain old prophet.
Says a Navi. Like, I think the burden of proof is trying to prove that he's not a Navi.
Well, one, he lies.
Okay, so good. I'll tell you two ideas. I'll tell you three ideas. So with the first idea. Rabbi Chanan Samet says that he was clearly a Navi Sheker, as you said, right? And what does it mean he was a Navi then? He was an advisor to Rabbi Ben Avat. And he felt that this Navi from Yehuda was an advisor to Rechavam. That's what he means when he says, Navi ani kamocha. I'm a Navi like you. Meaning, I'm an advisor like you. And he wanted to mess him up because this new guy coming in was threatening his enterprise. He's got a good thing going here. We've got our own religious sites in Beit El and Dan. I've got a good cushy job. This guy coming and saying, oh, this whole thing is wrong. It's going to be destroyed. And doing miracles like making the, you know, open up and ashes flying out by the Mizbeach. Come on, any wizard in Hogwarts can do that. That's no big deal. He was not really impressed. The truth is, why am I making a joke like that? Because Jerome's not impressed either. This thing happened. His hand freezes, right? Does Jerome say, oh my God, I can't believe it happened. Must be from God. No. He also thought he did a trick. The way Paro's not overly impressed by the things that Moshe and Aaron do. Because there were other types of wizards around. it's quite possible to say, and here as well, there were people that knew how to do tricks. And therefore he said, you did that, okay, not bad. I've done better, but, you know, pretty good for a newcomer. Mm-hmm. And that's why he says, Navi ani kamocha. And then, shock, out of nowhere, God actually appears to this Navi, Sheker. Right? He never had a conversation with God, this Navi from Beit El. God appears to him. He does tshuva. And then, the end of our parak, he spreads the word. And he says, I want to be buried with this Navi. But according to Rabbi Chanan Samet, he starts off as a Navi Sheker. He then turns into a Navi Emes. Rabbi Yoel ben Nun says the opposite. He was a Navi Emes. And that's why the Pasuk has to point out, in this particular case, he lied to him. Ki chesh lo. But only this time. Usually, what did he do? He told the truth. He told what Hashem said. And we had saw that the idea was to set up a religious center. It wasn't a ridiculous idea. We said the same way Aaron thought to make an egel, and it was maybe to be a conduit to God. It wasn't necessarily a bodah zara, depending on which parish you look at, on Chira Egel. And maybe he's a Navi Emes, and he was actually serving Rabbam, who we know was chosen by God through Achia Shiloni. I mean, like, why do we have to assume that this is a bad thing? This Navi was not from Beit El. That's why he's introduced. Navi Echad Zaken Yoshev Bit Beit El. He happened to be in Beit El. We will see later on, he's actually from the Shomron. He was interested to see if this declaration against the Egel Zahav was from Hashem, the Navi Emes was. And therefore, what does he do? This guy comes in, for all I know, he's got some gripe. Yerachavim sent him to try to put down, it's all about politics, right? We're now in the middle of elections here in Israel. It's all about politics. So maybe he's just there to try to ruin the enthusiasm that Yerachavim Ben Nevat has going for him. And it's a ploy. And he wants to drive the people back to Rechavim Ben Shlomo. So this Navi Emes has a test. What's his test? He wants to see if he'll go against God's word. And when he listens, he says, no, it's okay, it's safe to come eat by me. He says, oh, very good, right? He's clearly not a Navi Emes. Because a Navi Emes wouldn't have disobeyed God. God told him, don't eat. Human being tells you to eat, and you listen. Clearly he's not one of us, right? Possibly. But then God appears to him once again, and it turns out that he is a Navi Emes, and all the miraculous lion just standing there guarding him instead of mauling his body, etc., etc., etc. But according to Rabbi Yoel ben Nun, he was a Navi Emes testing the other guy. But he wasn't a Navi Sheker. Two totally different ways of looking at it. Mm-hmm. Rabbi Yigal Ariel says it's an in-between thing. And he says, look, he was a Navi. And the reason why the Navi from Yehuda believed that he was a Navi was, if he was really a Navi Sheker, i.e. part of the establishment, as Rabbi Yoel ben Nun said, how come he wasn't at Beit El for the big opening day? Wouldn't you think everyone would have been there? And the who's who? So the fact that he wasn't there led this Navi to believe he probably is one of us, one of the good guys. He's a Navi Emes. He invited me over, and the Navi says, God's appeared to me. Who am I to disagree? Maybe the way that, remember when we learned about Yonah, we said that Yonah didn't really want to destroy Nineveh. He wanted Nineveh to be destroyed. He didn't want to follow God's word of not giving their chance to tshuva. It could very well be that this Navi, who had to carry out the mission, he doesn't want to see Jewish people killed. He didn't really want to even do this. Possibly, Rabbi Yigal Ariel suggests, subconsciously maybe even, he tries to undo the curse. Right? Maybe by him violating his mission, well, maybe the curse gets undone as well. Now, what he could have done, I'm sorry, my bad. Who wants to undo this? The second Navi. The second Navi says, I can get him to break his instructions. It'll undo his curse. Now, what the Navi could have done, the hard work, was get everyone to do tshuva. Don't turn the Egel Zahav into a Avodah Zarah. Instead, he tries to take the easy way out. What's the easy way out? Oh, undo the curse. And therefore, he tricks this Navi. Okay? Now, the proof that he's a Navi Emes is that God appears to him and tells with the Onesh that he's going to come to the first Navi, the Navi from Yehuda. Mm-hmm. Why would God confide in Rasha? All right? So it sounds like he really was a Navi Emes who just now chose the easy way out instead of getting people to tshuva, tried to undo the thing. So God tells him. And as that's what I was saying. It could be that Navi Yehuda as well allowed himself to be convinced that it's okay. But maybe he also didn't want this Nevuah to come true, hoping it wouldn't happen. The way Chazal say, Noach didn't really get in the ark right away, the Teva, you know, hoping that people will do tshuva. So this is what happens. And in the end, they are destroyed. Now, with all what we saw, it's very interesting. The Mizbeach opens up. Ashes fly out. Yerubim's hand freezes. And yet, look at the last pasuk. Read 34 again.
This matter became a source of punishment for the house of Yerubim.
I'll start from 33.
After this incident, Yerubim did not repent from his evil way, and he again appointed commanders of the blessed priests for the high places. Remember, if he... whomever he desired to appoint, and they would be priests for the high places. This matter became a source of punishment for the house of Rehoboam, to eradicate it and destroy it from the face of the earth.
So what did Rehoboam see? A frozen arm, his bear splits, a navi's killed, a lion stands guard. And does he change his ways? Not at all. Very cool idea. Okay? The Sofei Tevot. Do you know what Sofei Tevot are?
The ending.
All right, the last letter of each word is what's the Rashi Tevot? Of Ki Yetzer Lev Hadam Ra Minu Rav. In Noach, it says, the heart of man is, the inclination is evil. The heart of man is evil from his birth. The Sofei Tevot, spell out, Yerubim. All right, it's pretty crazy, Yerubim. Okay? Leitzel Lev Adam, Ramin Urab, Yerubim. So Yerubim was an evil person. Now this whole story, we actually see it coming true. We'll get to it later, but we'll take a peek. Go to Malachim Bet, Pasuk Perachav Gimel.
Malachim
Bet, Perachav Gimel. Okay. Read from 15 through 18. Go for it, Aaron.
Also, the altar that was in Beit El, the high place that Yerubim ben Nevat built, with which he caused Israel to sin, also that altar and its high place he demolished. He burned the high place and ground it into dust, and burned the Asherah tree.
Yoshiahu
then turned and saw the graves that were there on the mountain. He sent men to take the bones out of the graves, and he burned them upon the altar and defiled it, in accordance with the word of Hashem, which the man of God who had prophesied about these events had proclaimed.
What we just read. Keep reading.
Yoshiahu then said, "What is this tombstone that I see?" The people of the city that said to him, "Is the grave of the man of God who came from Yehuda and prophesied about these deeds that you have done about the altar of Bethel?" He said, "Leave it alone. Let no man move those bones. His bones save the bones of the prophet who came from Shomron."
Okay, so that's what we said. This Navi that was in Beit El was really from the Shomron, but he happened to be in Beit El. Okay, fine.